Friday, February 9th, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports. We try to mix in some actual logic and common sense. Hopefully, we can make you laugh somewhere along the way, and we are happy to have you with us today. Happy Friday to you. I hope that we helped you in some small way get through your work week, and I hope, more importantly, that you have the weekend off. That would be nice to have right now. Take some time. Get away from work. Get away from your job. If you would like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email at dailydosesports@gmail.com or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got a suggestion. Heard from a number of different listeners this week asking questions, giving some feedback on a couple different things that we've had. Love to hear from you. You've got something to say. We would love to hear it. You know, we've got a lot to get to on this Friday. Of course, we had a wild, wild day in the NBA yesterday as the trade deadline hit at 5 p.m. last night. Got to discuss some of the moves happening over there. Had a little bit of news in the NFL as well. Plus, as we do every Friday, we will take a look forward to the weekend in sports. I know football is now done. What in the world are we going to do? Still have a couple of things that you're going to want to tune in for. And of course, like we do every Friday, a staple of the show, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, you never know which way the Daily Dose Top 5 is going to go. It has been something we've been doing since the very, very beginning. Sometimes it's topical. Sometimes it's informative. Sometimes it's none of those things, but the Daily Dose Top 5 is something that you always have to stick around for. Hey, a few moves in the NBA at the trade deadline yesterday, and we saw a few teams make some small moves. Saw the Knicks make some moves, saw the Detroit Pistons make a move, saw the Denver Nuggets move some people around. But the biggest story was that the Cleveland Cavaliers decided to trade their entire roster yesterday. That was unbelievable. That truly was crazy. First, Cleveland traded Isaiah Thomas and Channing Frye along with their first round protected pick to the Los Angeles Lakers for Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. Okay. Seems like a lot to give up, but they did get a little bit younger. Then they traded Dwayne Wade back to Miami for a protected second round pick. Now that one surprised me a little bit more. That was one of those things where like someone gives you, you know, the bad Halloween candy and you're just like, nah, take it back. I don't want it. Apparently the Cavs did not want Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade hadn't been playing horrible. No, he can't defend anyone anymore, but he hadn't been playing horrible. Sent him back to Miami. Then they sent Iman Shumpert to Sacramento, Jay Crowder and Derrick Rose to Utah and got Rodney Hood and George Hill in return. Now, when you first see these moves, and I'll admit, when I first saw these moves, my first reaction was, wow, Cleveland is holding a fire sale and everything must go, right? The Cavs are quitting. They are giving up on the season. They are going in a different direction. Maybe they're bringing in youth because they're expecting LeBron James to leave. That is the reaction, right? But then I looked at it a little closer and, you know, I'm looking at their roster. They did get younger. And they did get significantly better defensively. They offloaded some serious dead weight. What in the world does Channing Frye do? Shoot a couple threes here and there. That is literally it. He can't protect the basket. He can't move. He can't run the floor. He doesn't rebound. Iman Shumpert hasn't made a play in about 3 years. Derrick Rose offensively was looking better, I guess, than I thought he would. Jay Crowder just hadn't been there very long. Isaiah Thomas, great scorer, doesn't look like he's 100% healthy. And don't forget that Isaiah Thomas and Channing Frye are going to be free agents after this season. So when you look at Cleveland's roster now I don't have any idea if this group can come together. I have no idea if they can make some sort of a run because that is a lot of moving pieces. There's a lot of pieces coming together. But think about George Hill. Is a much, much better defensive point guard than Isaiah Thomas. Getting someone like Rodney Hood, who can be a serious matchup problem if or when he's ever healthy, that could change the look of this team quite a bit too. Offloading pieces like Derrick Rose and offloading pieces like Dwayne Wade, those are age and those are big contracts and that kind of thing. I don't know. This Cleveland Cavaliers team might be better off than they were As weird as that sounds, when you see all the moving pieces, now, like I said, I don't know how they're all going to come together. That's a lot of pieces to put together. Now, that would be my concern, because can Tyronn Lue bring this team together? And by Tyronn Lue, I mean, can the head coach? By the head coach, of course, I mean LeBron James. Now, is this a move geared toward making some sort of run this year, and they were seeing the writing on the wall and saying, hey, we're not going to do anything in the postseason. We don't even know if we're going to make the postseason at the current rate we're going. We have got to make a move to try to get this thing back together. Or is this a move saying, hey, we're going to make a move, bring these new pieces in, and if LeBron leaves next year, we've got a decent young nucleus that we can have a competitive team next year. Are we going to be the same? No. But do we have at least a solid core? Maybe. Possibly. You know, the one piece I was surprised it didn't move was Kevin Love. And I know that's a huge contract. But I thought if anybody was going to go, it was going to be K Love. The one question that I do have, and I'm not painting this out to be completely rosy for Cleveland, but this roster was a huge mess. And they kind of maybe cleaned some of it up. But the one thing that does put me off just a little bit is that draft pick. That protected pick going to the Lakers. Wow, that seems like a lot to give up for Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. I know you wanted to get rid of those Isaiah Thomas, Channing Frye contracts, but that seems like an awful lot to give up to get that. That pick, who knows what it could have turned into? That is the one piece of all these trades that I look at and say, not sure you got all that you could have for that deal. Now, the one team I'll give a lot of credit to is the Los Angeles Lakers. Yes, they get Isaiah Thomas and Channing Frye. Those guys can both be gone next year. Offload that money, and the Los Angeles Lakers are set to make a huge run at someone like LeBron James and maybe Paul George. Now, can they get them both? Do they have a backup plan? I don't know. But the Los Angeles Lakers have put themselves in a position to do that. Plus, they have that pick out there. Who knows what they could turn around and get with that draft pick now? I'm not quite as down on the Cavs moves as maybe a lot of people are. I think that roster, bizarrely, might be a little bit better than it was. Hey, coming back, we will look at the coming weekend in sports and let you know which events just might be worth your time to watch. There is actually some better stuff out there than you might think. Some NFL news yesterday. The San Francisco 49ers and quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo agreed to a 5-year, $137.5 million deal with $90 million guaranteed in the first 3 years. $90 million guaranteed to Jimmy Garoppolo. What has he played? Five games? Maybe five games? Now, he looked very, very good in those five games, but really? 90 million for five games? It's pretty good stuff there for Jimmy G. You know, it kind of strikes me that the San Francisco 49ers are that guy that hasn't had a date in a few years. Like, he's gone through like a horribly dry spell, and he goes out on one date, maybe with a decent girl. They have a reasonably good time. Nothing over the top, but they have a good time. It's nice. And then, like, on date number two, he shows up with a ring saying, I love you. Slow down, bro. You look really, really desperate. Like, I know it's been a while for you since you've had anyone, but slow down. Like, you don't want to come on too strong. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of what the San Francisco 49ers looked like yesterday when they just handed Jimmy G, dude, whatever you want, take it all. We'll give you anything. Jeez, you guys are desperate. I guess that's what comes when you've had Blaine Gabbert and Colin Kaepernick and those guys running the show back in San Francisco, you tend to get desperate. You know, we do this every single week. We look at some of the upcoming events over the weekend that you might want to tune in for. You have a lot to do. We keep you up on the best things to actually watch in sports. And now, not only are we previewing the games, we are also picking the games and seeing how we do with our picks. Now, last week, I made 10 picks. And it's kind of weird, but one of the games ended up in a tie, of course, because I went on a limb and picked soccer, which I should have known better than to do. So I went 6-3-1. I'm counting that one as a tie because, like, neither team won, right? Either way, 6-3-1 out of 10 picks. Hey, enjoy the free money, folks. Now, we have won more than we have lost here on the Dose, but I'm telling you, like we talked about earlier this week, gamble at your own risk. Because when you are betting on sports, you can lose your money very, very quickly. So it's not easy to do, but we do it for you because we want you to make some money. We're in the business of helping people. So get ready to make some more money. And remember, if you do, we sent you. And if you don't, we had nothing to do with it. Remember, all times that we give are mountain time zone, so adjust accordingly. Now, tonight, we actually have something to watch. No, it's not necessarily live, but the opening ceremonies from the Winter Olympics in South Korea are on tape delay tonight, at least here in the States. And while a lot of it is silly, and we have to watch these dance routines and these big show things, and I don't understand half of it, admit it. Like, it's kind of fun to watch, isn't it? It's kind of fun to look at the different countries as they come in. And I don't know about you, but like, we watch the different countries coming in, make fun of their outfits, and then we kind of pick which country that you would hope is closest to you if you were staying in the Olympic Village, if you know what I mean. We know what happens in that Olympic Village. Like, you look at Sweden and you're like, hey, you know, I hope they're down the hall, is all I'm saying. So you might want to watch the opening ceremonies for the Winter Olympics. Or at 6 p.m., you could watch the Western Conference 6th place Denver Nuggets. Yes, I'm going homer here. Go to Houston to play the 2nd place Rockets. You know, the Denver Nuggets always seem to play to the level of competition that they are facing this year. They have now won 3 games in a row. You say, okay, big deal. They beat Charlotte. Well, yeah. But they also beat Golden State and Oklahoma City. Can they go into Houston and beat the Rockets while their best player, Paul Millsap, is still out with that wrist injury? He should be back after the All-Star break. Denver could be a little bit of a tricky team. You know, they did deal Emmanuel Mudiay to pick up Devin Harris from Dallas. This Denver team is at least entertaining to watch. Denver versus Houston Friday night. Not bad if you don't feel like watching the Olympic ceremonies. My pick in that game would, of course, be Houston. On Saturday. Okay, I'm not going to pick like Olympic events, but there are some Olympics to watch on Saturday, including snowboarding, ski jumping, and luge. Yes, lots of chances to see people take their lives into their own hands. I think there's also maybe some speed skating, and I think there's maybe biathlon. Oh, there's curling later, too. If you're having a hard time sleeping, I would encourage you, biathlon, curling. I'm telling you, turn those two events on. It's like NyQuil. You'll be out in no time. But we do have some very, very good college basketball on Saturday that I'm telling you, you might want to tune in for. We've been giving you kind of a must-see college basketball game every single week. I've got a few games for you that you might want to tune in for. At 2 p.m., number 3 Purdue goes to number 4 Michigan State. If you haven't seen Isaac Hass, the 7-footer from Purdue yet, that is a big, strong kid. And you can tell that Purdue head coach Matt Painter has put in some work because he has done a phenomenal job. Watch his footwork, especially in the post. The Boilermakers are coming off of a loss to Ohio State on Wednesday. So you know they're going to be coming out trying to beat Michigan State in East Lansing. Meanwhile, Michigan State has won 7 games in a row. Pretty impressive for Michigan State. I'm going to take Purdue on the road, but I think this is one of those must-see games in college basketball, 2 p.m. on Saturday. That is a huge Big Ten matchup. At 6:30, we've got a good NBA game. We've got the San Antonio Spurs going to Golden State. Now, I don't know if the Spurs can truly compete with the Warriors in the postseason. And I think if they're going to, they will undoubtedly need Kawhi Leonard back to full health if they're going to have a real chance. But they might have a chance to get a win on Saturday night because the Warriors, I don't know if they're just tired or what it is, but they're a little funky right now. They are dying right now to get to the All-Star break. And that's what happens when you've won as many games as they have and you've won the titles that they have and you are as talented as they are. But here's the one thing about Golden State. We've talked about it before. They're not very deep. And so when they've played this many games over this stretch, they're starting to wear out. They have to play so many minutes to keep winning that it just looks like Golden State is kind of running on fumes right now. I'll take the Warriors at home against San Antonio on Saturday night, but I won't be surprised a bit to see them stumble. They are just trying to get to the All-Star break and get some much-needed rest. At 8 p.m., I have one more game for you, another college basketball game, and I'm telling you, this is another one. This is a little bit sneaky, but this could be a very, very good one. We have number 12 Gonzaga going to number 11 St. Mary's. Hey, we all know the incredible job that head coach Mark Few has done with Gonzaga. I mean, he had them in the national championship game last year, and they went toe-to-toe with North Carolina and almost won it. And they're still pretty solid this year. They lost some from that team, but they are still pretty good this year. The Zags are 21-4. They're rolling through the West Coast Conference like they usually do, except for one team. And that is the team they are facing on Saturday night, because they'll be a slight underdog on Saturday when they go to Moraga to take on the first place St. Mary's Gales. St. Mary's is 23-2 and have won 18 games in a row. The Gales can do it all. If you haven't seen them yet, I'm telling you, they might be kind of a sneaky team to watch as we get into March Madness. They can do it all. They've got size. They've got shooting. This team is a legitimate contender to make a run in the tournament. Might want to check out some West Coast hoops on Saturday night. I will pick St. Mary's at home, but Gonzaga versus St. Mary's should be a sneaky good matchup for you to watch. On Sunday, okay, it's a little bit tough. It is the first official Sunday without football of any kind. Ugh. And I'm not going to lie to you, it's going to be rough. It won't be real rough just yet. It's going to get worse. This week isn't too horrible, but there's not a ton on. I mean, the good news is, if nothing else, we have the Olympics, right? There will be some women's hockey, there will be some skiing, and there will be some snowboarding on Sunday. So if nothing else, we have that. Team USA women's hockey, I told you they should be contending for the gold medal. They play at like 1 a.m. Sunday morning, so I would think that'll probably be replayed at some point Sunday. You might want to check in and see if you can watch Team USA women's hockey. That should be at least decent. But now, I can try to put a positive spin on the rest of Sunday, but yeah, that's it. You're going to have to watch the Olympics, because the college basketball schedule is absolutely awful on Sunday. There's just not many top matchups. There's a lot of really good teams facing a lot of really bad teams, and there's probably going to be a number of lopsided games. College basketball is about to start heating up, but it's not there yet. Another week or two, we'll start seeing better college basketball. We do have Daytona 500 qualifying for the big race next Sunday. You know, if you want to see some cars drive around in circles by themselves, there's that, I guess. Okay, we do have a couple of games for you to watch, though, on Sunday. It's not just Olympics or cars driving in circles by themselves. Women's college basketball, 1 p.m., you have number 18 Georgia versus number 11 Tennessee. You know, when the Georgia Bulldogs lost their head coach, Andy Landers, back in 2015, no one knew what was going to happen to a Georgia program that was actually pretty solid. But Joni Taylor has kept Georgia rolling. The Lady Bulldogs are 20-3. They are number 18 in the country. Of course, on the other side, you've got Tennessee. They no longer have Pat Summitt, but Holly Warlick, she's doing her best to keep the Lady Vols at that elite kind of level. This season, they are 19-4. They are in first place in the SEC East. Georgia is in second place in the SEC East. Georgia's rolling. They've won a number of games lately, but I'm not sure if they have played as tough of a schedule as Tennessee. I'm going to take Tennessee in this game at home. This should be a reasonably entertaining game. Check out some women's hoops on Sunday. But then on Sunday, like I said, no football, but here is a Sunday afternoon game that is going to be interesting in the NBA. I'm not sure it's going to be good, but it's going to be interesting, because at 1:30 on Sunday afternoon, we have the Cleveland Cavaliers, the new Cleveland Cavaliers, the much younger Cleveland Cavaliers, going to Boston to face the Celtics. Remember, this was going to be the Isaiah Thomas returns home to Boston to have a video tribute to a guy that never won anything. But instead, now it's just a Cleveland team that is all completely new, that we have no idea who they'll even be. What kind of fight is Cleveland going to show? How will they look together on the floor against the best team in the East? This is going to be an interesting game. Like I said, I don't know if it's going to be a good game. I have no idea what to expect from Cleveland on Sunday, but it's going to be interesting. I will take Boston, of course, at home, but I have no idea what we're going to be watching Sunday at 1:30. Cleveland versus Boston might be worth your time to check out. Like I said, it's not a great weekend of sports, but there are a number of things for you to watch. Hey, coming back, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Of course, one of the biggest overreactions of the week, we talked about it yesterday, was the fact that people were saying Super Bowl 52 was the greatest Super Bowl in history. Hey, it was an entertaining game. No question about that. But was it the best in history? Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. Just a quick reminder, you know you've got to get something for Valentine's Day for that special someone, and you might want to hurry up, because now we are less than a week away from that silly holiday. So you might as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where they have the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. They've got stuff for your house. They've got stuff for your car. They've got stuff for your pet or for your desk at work. February's Loot Crate theme, it's called Protect, and it's got items from Black Panther, Fallout, The Expanse, and Pacific Rim Uprising. But if none of those sound appealing to you, head over to Loot Crate because they have every other franchise you can pretty much think of. The best part, of course, about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We will get you 10% off of your order. Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose top five. You know, there has been quite a bit of talk after the Super Bowl that the game last Sunday between the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots was the greatest Super Bowl of all time. And we tend to do that as sports fans, don't we? Whatever we just saw was the greatest game ever. The players we are currently watching are the greatest players ever. The coaches are the greatest coaches ever. Why do we think that? It's emotional, usually. It's exciting. We get all excited. We see a big game and we're all pumped up. We're like, oh, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. But here's the question. Was it really a great Super Bowl? And I guess here's the question that I will pose to you. What makes a great game? What makes a great Super Bowl? And I suppose for me, I'm going to want to see a few things. I'm going to want to see great players. I want to see great players. I don't want to see, I hate to say this, this isn't a shot at Nick Foles. This isn't a shot at the Philadelphia Eagles, but I want to see the best players in the best game. I don't want to see the best player get taken off on a stretcher. And so we didn't even get to see each team at the height of their talent. I want to see great players. I want to see great teams. If it's not a great team, sometimes a team will sneak in and you're like, hey, they were pretty good, but they don't play that well together. And it was kind of disjointed. I want to see great teams and I want to see a great performance on the field. Here's another question I'll ask you. If I were to ask you to give me a letter grade for the units on Sunday, what would you grade them? Let's see. Patriots offense? Probably like an A-, something like that. Maybe a B+, A-, somewhere in there. What about the Patriots defense? F? D-? What about the Patriots special teams? Probably a C. What about the Eagles offense? I'd give the Eagles offense an A, maybe a B+, somewhere in there. Eagles defense, came up with big plays when they had to, but that's probably a D+ kind of grade. Eagles special teams, missed an extra point. Yeah, it's probably around a C, C- somewhere in there. See, that's not a great game to me. Now, understand this. If you're an Eagles fan, this is the greatest Super Bowl of your life. And I'm not taking that away by any means. Just like Super Bowl 32 will always be the greatest Super Bowl in the world to me as a Denver Broncos fan. But you know, when I go back now and I watch Super Bowl 32, like there's some sloppiness to it, right? Like at the time, it was the first competitive Super Bowl we had had in like 15 years. We hadn't had very close Super Bowls. The NFC had been running roughshod over the AFC every single year, blowout after blowout after blowout. So when we got this game, this Broncos versus Packers game that we all expected the Packers to blow the Broncos out, and it ended up being close, and it ended up being a crazy finish, and the Broncos ended up pulling the upset. You're like, that's the greatest game I've ever seen. But then I go back and I watch it, and like, John Elway is really, really bad in that game. I think he passed for like 130 yards, had an interception. A bad interception, like a really, really bad interception. The Denver defense actually created a few mistakes by Brett Favre and by the Packers offense, and the Broncos failed to capitalize on almost every single one of them. Like there was the chance that the Broncos could have blown Green Bay out, but because they were so sloppy, they didn't do it. So while I look at that game and I think that's like my favorite Super Bowl ever, yeah, but is it a great game? Probably not. It's good. It's very good. Is it great? I don't think so. What about Super Bowl 52 on Sunday? It's a very good game. It's a very entertaining game. It's a very close score. But I bet I can name five games that were better than Super Bowl 52. Probably name more than that. But I'll bet I can name five. And right now, I will. Starting off at number five. And this game I struggled a little bit putting on this list because of the way it ended. We remember it for a mistake. But if you think of Super Bowl 49, the interception is what comes to mind, right?
Curve on the left. Play clock at five. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
The New England Patriots beat the Seattle Seahawks in Arizona in 2015. They played a very, very close game, but it's remembered for that play call at the end when Russell Wilson throws the ball into the teeth of the Patriots defense at like the 2-yard line. But we kind of forget that prior to that point, Russell Wilson and Tom Brady had put on a show. That was a very well played game. Brady threw for 328 yards and 4 touchdowns. The Patriots were actually down 10 points in the third quarter and came back against a very, very stout Seahawks defense. Wilson made a huge mistake with the game on the line. But this was a great game played at a very, very high level. Super Bowl 49 comes in at number 5. Games that were better than Super Bowl 52. Number 4 on our list. We had the upset. In Super Bowl 42, you know, the New England Patriots were 18-0. They were going to be the first team in NFL history to go undefeated in a 16-game season. The New York Giants, meanwhile, were a 9-7 wild card team. They had no business even being in the same stadium. They were huge underdogs. There was no way they could beat the Patriots. But the Giants defense absolutely swarmed Tom Brady. They sacked him 5 times. They hit him multiple times. And here's the thing that I always look at. It wasn't that the Patriots were flat. It wasn't like the Patriots came in looking unprepared. That wasn't the case. It was that the Giants made them flat. The Giants dominated the Patriots offense with their front four. And then we saw Eli Manning made what might be the greatest play in Super Bowl history, completing a 32-yard pass to David Tyree on third down.
Pressure from Thomas off the edge. Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree inside the 25 and a timeout taken.
The Giants came up with huge plays in the clutch. Somehow, they give the Patriots the only loss of that season, beating New England 17-14. Phenomenal game. Like it or not, both teams brought their A games. One was just a little better than the other. Moving on to number 3. We had the best defense versus the best offense in Super Bowl 25. You know, back in 1991, the Buffalo Bills were rolling with their K-gun offense. They had the best offense in the league. Meanwhile, the New York Giants were a typical Bill Parcells team. They were tough and they were physical and they looked to wear you down and break you with the best defense in the league. Something had to give in this game. Now, I will say this. I could give Super Bowl 25 the greatness factor just for the national anthem, which Whitney Houston sang. And if you go back and listen to it, I dare you to not get chills. I promise you, you're going to. But then this ended up being an excellent game on top of that. Both teams, and I think this is one of the pivotal things for me, both teams threw haymakers and both teams landed haymakers. This was a physical game. In the end, it was the New York Giants that were left standing. That's what makes a great game. It wasn't that one team was great and one team didn't show up. This was a great game. Both teams played great. I don't want to see F's on the report card. These two teams in 1991 played a great game. The Giants won 20-19 over the Buffalo Bills, but that's a phenomenal Super Bowl. Moving on to number 2. You know, the one thing I hate about the Super Bowls, this is just a quick side note, is that if you lose the Super Bowl, like you're second best, right? But we think of you as like 33rd best, like there's 32 other teams and then like a pile of crap and then you, which is totally unfair. And we do that to those Buffalo Bills for sure. When you think of those teams that Buffalo had with Jim Kelly and Bruce Smith and Thurman Thomas and Andre Reed and Cornelius Bennett, those were great teams. We do it with the Minnesota Vikings. No question. Fran Tarkington, Alan Page, Carl Eller, Paul Krause, Jim Marshall. We totally do it with them. Like, we think of them as horrible. Oh, they never won a title. What are they? They were phenomenal. That's what they were. And you know who else we do it with? We do it with the Cincinnati Bengals. Because both the 1981 team and the 1989 team had a ton of talent. If you go back and you watch Super Bowl 23 from 1989, and you can go find the clips on YouTube, watch the physicality of this game. The Cincinnati Bengals lost a heartbreaker to the San Francisco 49ers, but this is an absolute vicious game. We don't always think of the Bill Walsh 49ers teams as tough, but I'm telling you, this is a case where both teams left everything they had on the field. You know, you kind of forget, the Cincinnati Bengals led this game 16-13 with 3 minutes left to play. They were thinking, we might actually win a Super Bowl. We're going to beat San Francisco. Can you imagine how the narrative would change for both of those franchises if this had actually happened? Now, when you hear that, you might be hearing that right now and say, well, big deal. Joe Montana was down 3 points. Who cares? But again, we underestimate how good this Cincinnati Bengals team was. Boomer Esiason was a big, tough, strong quarterback. Icky Woods was a load in the backfield. James Brooks, he could just change the game at any time. Chris Collinsworth was a much better player than people remember. Eddie Brown had some serious speed. The Bengals had a pretty tough defense. They hit Montana numerous times. They held Roger Craig to just 71 yards. And with 3 minutes left, the 49ers, with Montana and Rice and Craig and Taylor and all that talent, they'd only scored 13 points. But of course, Joe Montana drives San Francisco 92 yards on the final drive. And if you watch this game, it was not easy. And then on the final play of the drive, he hits John Taylor, not MVP Jerry Rice, who since he was trying to do their best to double cover, he hits John Taylor for the game winning touchdown. This was a well-played game and a great finish with a ton of talent on the field. That's why it comes in at number 2. So now to our number 1. Like I said, what makes a great game? Great players. Well, this game featured 13 future Hall of Famers. Both coaches and both owners also got in. Great teams. These were the perennial teams of their era. And great performances. Both teams in our number 1 selection played at an insanely high level. The Pittsburgh Steelers had it all. Terry Bradshaw quarterback, Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer in the backfield, John Stallworth and Lynn Swann catching amazing passes. And this might be the greatest defense ever with Joe Green, Jack Lambert, Jack Ham, Mel Blunt. The Dallas Cowboys, they had a ton of talent on their side too with Roger Staubach and Tony Dorsett, receivers Tony Hill and Drew Pearson, and Randy White and Harvey Martin on the defensive side. And in 1979, in Super Bowl 13, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys put on an incredible Super Bowl. The game was tight throughout. The Steelers pull away in the fourth quarter 35-17 behind Bradshaw, who actually threw for 318 yards and 4 touchdowns. Okay, well, how is this a good game? They're down by 18. Who cares? This isn't a good game. This isn't even a close game. But Dallas wasn't done because late in the fourth quarter, Roger Staubach led the comeback. He threw 2 late touchdowns, caught the Cowboys up to 35-31, and Dallas actually had an onside kick with a chance to recover and go get more points. Of course, the Steelers recover the kick. But I mean, the fact that the Cowboys even scored 31 points on arguably the greatest defense ever. And if you watch this game, watch how hard they have to fight for it. There isn't blown coverages. There's not blown assignments. The Dallas Cowboys are scratching and clawing for every single yard they get. Watch how hard Tony Dorsett runs. It is very, very impressive. That is our number 1 Super Bowl. That's better than Super Bowl 52. It's not a knock on Super Bowl 52. This one's just better. Now, you might notice there is one game that is absent from my list. It could have made it, I guess. The only overtime game ever played last year, Super Bowl 51 between the Patriots and the Falcons. But honestly, would you really give either the Patriots' first half or the Falcons' second half good grades? Yeah, me either. It's not just the final score. It's not how close it was. It is how well both teams played on that day. The players and the teams and the performances are what make these games great. Hey, it is Friday and we made it through another week. Next week, we will be talking about some college basketball. The NBA will be getting ready for their All-Star break and we will take a look at how all the changes that took place at the trade deadline are going to affect these teams. And we will have to see what happens in the Winter Olympics. Plus, you just never know what's going to happen in the crazy world of sports. Hey, I have to say thank you to all of you for listening to the Daily Dose every day. I hope you're enjoying the show. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for reaching out. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for shopping at Loot Crate. It is all very, very appreciated. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week. Have a great weekend.